Thank you, worship team. There's something that I quickly want to share with you, something that God has laid on my heart. After I make this announcement, I'm going to let the tidal wave and anchor youth be dismissed. But I want them to hear this as well. They're old enough to know the power of the seed that you put in the ground. Right? Right, Miss Murray? They're old enough to know this. Everything that God does starts with a seed. Everything. Everything that he does, he starts with a seed. 2020, the year 2020, is just a few weeks away. How many of you have already planned, I've already turned the calendar over to 2020? Yeah. I'm already looking. I'm already planting different places. I'm spotting places that God wants us to be in. Areas that he wants us to be involved in. And I'm looking at 2020. I'm seeing this as a canvas for God. And I want to say, God, I want to be right in the middle of it. I want to be in the middle of it. So we're going to use the last Sunday of 2019 to plant a seed for 2020. And we're going to expect a harvest on that seed. So I want to invite you to bring a special seed. When I'm saying seed, I'm talking about a special offering. Something that you bring in. I'm not talking about tithes. I'm not talking about anything else. It's something that you will put aside specifically for a harvest. It's a targeted seed. It's something that you're targeting specifically for a harvest that you believe in God for. Something that you're going to put in the ground. And I invite you to participate with us. Oceans United as a church, we will also participate in this as a body. We're going to look for somewhere where we can plant our seed that we're going to believe corporately for our church body for the year 2020. So I want to invite you to participate with us so that we can advance our vision for Oceans United concerning this city, concerning the state of Alaska, and beyond. This is the vision of this church. It is not just right here between those four walls. It is beyond this. So I want you to really think about this. I don't want it to be something that is you just casually just bring and drop. We don't want that. If you're new here, you would notice that we don't even pass a bucket or a basket for offering. We want the Holy Spirit to do this, not us. So there's not that pressure to give, okay? But I believe there's something specific that God wants to do on that last Sunday of the year 2019. I don't know exactly what it is, but I'm believing God is going to be something huge, something big that he wants to do, and I want to be in the middle of it, and I don't want to miss it. Amen. So you pray about this. You're going to start seeing us talking about it again next week, and you're going to see it on social media a little bit, and share it, promote it, and participate in it. Amen? All righty, that's it. Let's move on to the Word. Anchor Youth and Tidal Wave, you may be dismissed. Have we talked about this yet or not yet? No. Okay. Today's message ties in with our series that we started in the beginning of December called An Invitation from the King. and speaking on the invitation right in front of your seat, right in that pocket in front. You know, I walk around and I didn't really fully understand what's the use of that pocket. It's got many uses for that pocket. So you're going to pick one of these, and I want you to take it home and not just put it on your fridge. You are already invited. You already know about this. I want you to take this and give it to somebody that doesn't know about it. Okay? Don't keep it and put it on your fridge. I want you to go and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to somebody that might not even attend church here, but might be looking for Christmas Eve service. We want to welcome them to be able to come and participate and be part of our Christmas Eve service. It's going to be great. It's going to be amazing. We're going to have choir. We're going to have kids program going on. We're going to even have a birthday cake. You know, we're all about food. We've been talking about food from get-go this morning. And it won't be a great celebration without a cake, without cookies, without milk, without hot chocolate, without coffee. We might do all of the above on December the 24th. Okay, so you invite somebody. Invite them, invite their whole family. It's going to be great. Okay, this is it. I'm ready to go. So today's invitation from the king is to enter in his pasture. To enter in his pasture. So if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Psalms. Amen. Chapter 100. And we're going to start reading from verse 1 through 3. Okay, last week we tried this and it worked well. You know what I'm going to do with that, right? We're going to read this together. Okay? Are we ready? I'm not going to read. You're going to read and I'm going to follow. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Go. We are the sheep of his pasture. So welcome to his pasture this morning. Okay? So welcome to his pasture. Pasture is a place of healing. Pasture is a place of restoration. Pasture is a place of feeding. And then this morning I thought about something else when I started reading the book of Psalms, chapter 23. Pasture is also a place of conflict. Now, no one would actually think about pasture being a place of conflict, but it is. It is. It is not just a place where you get fed, it's a place where you get challenged. Challenge on many levels. Challenge to grow. Challenge to face difficult situation. Challenge to face a conflict in relationships. Challenge to face the enemy. Because when the enemy comes, when you think about sheep, when they are in the pasture, they're grazing, that's the perfect place for the enemy to come in. It's not always when they are sheltered in a pen that the enemy comes in. The enemy would wait until the opportune time when they're in the open, exposed, visible, seen. When the enemy can walk around and smell the presence of God's people or the sheep in the pasture, that's where the enemy would actually come and attack. That doesn't mean that he wins, but he's there. We have to be vigilant, is what the Bible says. We have to be conscious that there is such a thing as an enemy. He's out there, is out there to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he does. But it is yet a place where you are fed, where you are restored, where you are healed. What if I can describe this pasture to you? You know that the pasture is there, but you can't get in. You know that there's a place where you can be restored, you can be healed, you can be refreshed, you can be fed. I show it to you. You know it's there, but you have no way of getting in. Now, that would be a shame if you've got a pasture that is just there and not being utilized to its fullest potential, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because they are all found on that pasture. What good would it be if you can see it and then because of conflict, you don't enter in? You don't get, you'll miss out on all the good things just because, ooh, if I get there, I might be challenged. Any place that God wants you to go in would be challenging. Any place that God wants you to be part of would be challenging. Growth is needed. Is needed for us to grow from one stage to the next. When sometimes when we were young as a Christian, we were fed milk. And we were happy with the milk. But then comes to a point in time, just like a baby. Can you feed a baby for the rest of the baby's life on just milk? But milk is important, right? Milk is even important for adults. Because even us as adults, if all we eat is meat and no milk, I think we'll have a very unbalanced diet. When God feeds, he feeds everything. A little bit of milk for those that are new. A little bit of potatoes for those that can handle it. And then a little bit of meat for those that can handle a little bit more. And then he refreshes everything else with something sweet, palatable, when he's trying to teach, coach, and correct. Because when God corrects, he also gives you a little spoonful of sugar to help that medicine go down. Isn't that amazing with God? He knows that's going to, ooh, you might not like that. You might not like this little bit of correction. But the pasture is also that place where you get corrected. But no, but don't just separate yourself from the pasture because there's a correction. Correction is important, but when the Holy Spirit is doing this, there's usually this little spoonful of sugar that will come in first, that would whet your appetite a little bit for him. And then comes the correction. Steer to this side. Stay right here. Listen to the shepherd. The shepherd is right in the middle. Are you tracking? Are you following? Jesus answered that question in John chapter 10 when he's referring to the pasture. In John chapter 10 verse 9 he says, I am the door. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. And he who believes in me, when enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture, and find healing, find restoration, find breakthrough, find feeding, You will go in and out and enjoy all these good things. You would go in and out and be faced even with conflict. All along, God is there with you, not abandoning you, not forsaking you, but right there alongside you, ready to give you that spoonful of sugar when you need it. Just when you need it, is right there to bring that little correction after the spoonful of sugar has gone in. Is there, is the door to that pasture. If you study a little bit about shepherding, if you study a little bit about this, you'll find out back in the Jesus time, when they would put the sheep in the pasture, or they would take them out at night to put them in a shelter away from the elements, away from the wild animals, they would put them in a place called a sheepfold, a little pen. The shepherd would actually lay across the entrance of that sheep pen. He would lay across, his body will be the gate or the door. So when Jesus is making that statement here in John 10:9, when he's saying, I am the door, he's saying, I am also the shepherd, but I'm also the door. Because that's what the shepherd would do. The shepherd would lay his body across that opening so that no one can get in without him knowing about it. No one will get out without him knowing about it. That's where he protects the sheep. He makes sure that the enemy, although that could, he could actually, the enemy can actually get in, but the shepherd is protecting that entrance, not allowing the enemy to come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, because he is the door. No one can get in. No one can get in. He is the door. And then he goes on to say this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He gives his life for the sheep. Jesus wanted you and me to know him. I want you to listen to this. He wants you and me to know him. Not for his pasture. Not for his pasture. Although his pasture is a place of healing, restoration. He wants you to know him not for the pasture. He wants you to know him for who he is. Okay, let me break it down in a less abstract way, because we're using sheep, we're using gate, we're using shepherd. Some of it doesn't make sense to our culture. We don't even understand. How many of you raise sheep in this place? One. Well, hallelujah. Somebody knows how to raise sheep, but I don't. I have never been around sheep. Except on a dinner plate sometime, you know, you get a little lamb. But, yeah, I haven't been around sheep much. But I've watched enough YouTube video to know how they behave. I can tell you I'm almost an expert in sheep. I'm almost there. What Jesus is saying here, he's saying this in a very less abstract way. He says, God wants you to know me, him, for who he is and not for what he can give to you. He wants you to know him not for the blessing. He wants you not to approach the pasture, not because of what you can get out of it. He wants you to come to him just because you love him. And you want to lay aside everything just to be in his presence. He's looking, he's longing for relationship, period. He wants you to approach him with that in mind, with that in your heart, with that and only that leading the way and nothing else. Nothing else. Although when you do approach the pasture and you get in and you start feeding, healing, restoration, peace, and everything comes in, but he doesn't want you to enter the pasture just because of that. He longs for relationship. He longs to know you, to know you on a deeper and a deeper level. He wants to know all about you. He is in love with you. It's just as simple as that. He is madly crazy in love with you. It's like he wakes up in the morning, all he thinks about is you. Can you imagine a God, the God that created the whole universe, has enough time for you? He will stop everything just to have a little time with you. It doesn't matter where you are. That's why you can go in and out and still be in his pasture. The location doesn't really matter. He's everywhere. At any given point in time, he is there. The word, in fact, says, even if you place your bed in hell, he is there. Basically, what the psalmist is saying, even if I find myself so far away from you, I can still find you. I'm looking out for you. You think you've disappeared, but I know exactly where you are. You might think that you are hidden in a dark place. I know exactly where you are. That is the type of God that wants to have a relationship with you. He longs for it. That's what he wants, is just for us to approach him with boldness, knowing him as a good shepherd. Because he's a good shepherd. He's a good God. Everything that comes from him is good. Last week we talked about his light. There is no darkness in his light. Everything that he does is good, is pure. There's no ulterior motive with God. Everything is clear. All the expectation is set. There is nothing that he's putting in front of us. There's something else underneath that he's hiding from us. He's a good God. When he sets the expectation, he says, this is what I see you becoming. And he calls you by that. He sees you by that. He sees you as the end product, the final thing. You might see yourself as, oh man, I'm so raw. I've been through a whole lot. I carry a lot of burdens. I'm damaged goods. And you see yourself as that. You might even call yourself as such, but not God. He calls you by what he sees you. He calls you by a new name. It might not even be the name that you're carrying right now. He calls you as the new name that he gives to you. When he renews you, when he restores you. He gives you a new identity, a new name that carries something much, much more powerful than what you know now. When I was born, I wasn't planning on saying this, but I will say it now that he's bringing it to my attention. When I was born, I was raised Hindu, for those who are new that don't know. My name was given by a sorcerer. There's no two ways to slice and dice this, so I'm going to say it straight out. My name was given by a sorcerer, a witch doctor, somebody that you would go as a new parent, you would go to that person. That person will open up a book where he would see the day, the time, the year that you were born, and he will come up with a list of names that he would actually suggest to the parents to actually name the child. So my parents were given five names. And out of these five names, I was given a name. You might need to write this down because it's going to come out one time and one time only. I'm not going to repeat this again. So they named me Iga Naden. It's not hard to say. Once you get the hang of it, you'll know what that is. E-G-A-N-A-D-E-N. Gave me that name. For the longest time, I despised that name. No one knew about this name. I hid it from everybody. Everyone. No one knew about it. Even when Dawn and we were dating, I kept that away from her. I did not tell her that name. Until one day, a letter from the bank came in. She saw the letter. She's like, "Who is that?" And I told her, "Well, that's me." Okay? So we were still students at that time. I remember going to the post office on campus, and each one, all the kids will go and get their mail and see what came in. And she happened to see this. And she was like, "What is this name?" I remember her laughing. I'm like, "Come on. Don't laugh at this name." And then maybe about a month or so afterwards, somebody that understood Sanskrit, which is kind of like an ancient Indian language, that's where Hindi and Urdu and many other languages derived from. Sanskrit is kind of very ancient. It's kind of like Latin. So she actually understood some of this word and said, "I know exactly what this name means." Said, "Do you know your name?" I'm like, "No, I don't want to talk about it." The name actually means, Iga means servant, or servant, and then the other word that connects with it is one. In Hindi, it doesn't work out the same way as in English. Okay, so the one goes kind of like almost in, like in the middle. It, you put it together, it means servant of one God. Servant of one God. See, when God gave, I would say, you know what? God went ahead of this sorcerer. He had no idea what he was doing, because in Hinduism, guess what? There's not one God. There's a million of them. But my name that was given meant servant of one God. It's like the Holy Spirit, that good shepherd, already was calling me by my name. Even though I did not know anything about the pasture. I did not know that in this pasture I can be restored, I can be healed, I can be fed. But it came to the point where I knew the shepherd. And that's all that mattered. I did not know all the benefits around it, but I knew the shepherd. And that is the most important thing in life. It's not so much about all the benefits and the blessings. They will come, but get to know him for who he is. So I devoted my whole entire young life as a Christian to get to know him. Just him. I long to be in his presence the moment I wake up. Every day I say, I want to just switch off everything and escape just to be in his presence. I cannot live without him. And I believe it's the same for him. I believe this love is mutual. Jesus cannot live without me. That's the way I see it. In my little simple mind, that's the way I see it. It's just that he's so madly in love with Iganaden Panthen that he all he thinks about is me and you. That's the way he is. He is so madly in love that he wakes up in the morning and he has you on his mind because he is a good shepherd and a good God. I don't know any other scripture that can best describe God as a good shepherd as Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is the most amazing psalm that I know that describes my God as a good shepherd. We read this at many functions, funeral even. Anytime that we want to talk about God, how good he is, Psalm 23 is this amazing thing that we can read, we can meditate upon, and we can linger and remain in that, in God's presence just by reading Psalm 23. Even Elijah, my six-year-old, has this memorized. He's able to quote this anytime. He might not be fully understanding the true and exact meaning of every single word, but he's got it memorized. And I'm like, son, if that remains in your spirit now, and let it remain in your spirit forever, this would lead him in a time when he's in the pasture and he's facing conflict. He will know that the Lord is my shepherd. He will know that when times of trial would come, he would know that the Lord is his shepherd. So from Psalm 23, we get to know God in three different ways. Number one is provider. We get to know God as a provider, as a protector, as a promise keeper. As a provider, as a protector, and as a promise keeper. As a provider, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. When we make Jesus our shepherd, the shepherd of our lives, we will not want. What that means is that we will not lack anything. If you're in lack today, would you get to know Jesus as your shepherd? That is basically the bottom line. Would you get to know him as the true good shepherd, the one and only shepherd, the only one that can satisfy your soul? The only one that can give you an identity that supersedes anything in your past. That can erase your past completely, no matter if it was even a sorcerer that gave you a name. God is able to give you an identity and line you up in such a way in your path in life so that you can live truth to this identity. You can walk in the destiny that he has set before time began just for you. You can walk in this identity because he is a good God and a good shepherd. He says, would you make him? The Lord is my shepherd. Would you make him your shepherd? Would you make him your shepherd so that you will not lack anything, any good thing? See, the benefit did not just, he didn't start the psalm with saying, you will not lack anything. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Because he is your shepherd, he's watching out for you. And because he's watching out for you, you will not lack anything. Now this is amazing. This is amazing. You will not lack any good thing because he's your shepherd. I'd like to think of myself as a good provider. Am I not a good provider? I'm putting her on the spot. I like to think of myself as a good provider. I believe everybody would like to think of themselves as a good provider, right? For their family. Jonathan, you're a good provider for your family. By His grace, by what He does, you are a good provider for your family. I'm a good provider. No matter how good of a provider that for my family I think I am not the provider. I am not the provider. I'm just the caretaker of what He gives. I'm not the provider. I'd like to think of myself as a provider, but guess what? I'm not. And I'm happy not to be the provider. I'm happy that He's the good shepherd, that He provides for me. And I'm just the one that manages what He gives to me. I'm just the one that stewards what He gives to me. You know, when we bring our tithes, our offering, that's what we're doing. We're making a statement of faith. Lord, everything that I have, You gave to me. This job that I have, You provided for me. The paycheck that I'm getting from every month, that is coming from You. You are the provider for everything that I have. When you do this, you take the burden of You being the provider. You've taken that away from You. You're free. He is the good shepherd. He is the one that provides. You just be the good steward of what He gives to you. The pressure is off at this point. Lord, I don't know. I don't have anything. I don't know anything. Whatever I know, whatever I have, You've given to me. And show me how to be a good steward. So when we are bringing our tithes, our offering, when we're planting our seed for 2019, for what we believe in God in 2020, guess what we're saying? It's a statement of faith. God, You are my provider. That's it. You are my provider. And I believe that everything that I need, You will provide. I will not lack. I will not want. God is a good provider. And what does He provide? What, just out of this scripture right there, right out of this passage from 1 to 3, we see contentment and peace. Green pasture is contentment. I'm satisfied. God, you just bless me so much. I'm just happy to be known as Your child. Everything that I need, You provide. That's a spirit of contentment. Still waters represent peace. When you are here at church, when you are sitting here besides the still waters, you are doing so while you're worshiping. It's like you're sitting besides the still waters, under His anointing, under His presence, and you're just worshiping Him. Everything is at still. You don't care about whether or not you have food on the table when you get back home. You have lunch ready. You're just besides the still waters in His presence. Every time when we come here and we worship corporately here, or you're worshiping at home, that's what you're doing. You're sitting besides the still waters. The whole world might be falling apart around you, but guess what? You're sitting beside the still waters. Kids might be screaming in the background. Everything might be chaos around you. But guess what? You got your worship on. And you're sitting beside the still waters. That happens a lot in my house. Where I find my spot. When I've got my worship on. I am sitting beside the still waters. When I've got my worship music on and I'm cutting celery, carrots, and I'm getting supper ready, I am sitting beside the still waters. It's not just a position that you do. It's not like you got to be absent from your responsibilities at home. You can still function and be a dad, be a husband, be a wife, be a mom. You can still do all of this and be still in is besides the still waters. You don't have to check out of life and lock yourself somewhere to be in his presence. He's everywhere. That's why you can go. He's the door of the pasture. And he says you can go in and out and find pasture. You'll find pasture anywhere you go. I can step out of Safeway and I'm finding pasture. I can walk into my truck and get in my truck and drive around. I'm finding pasture. Because I am in his presence no matter where I go. It doesn't always have to be here in church, by the way, guys. I love it that you guys come to church every time and be here and be corporately in his presence. But it doesn't have to stop there. When you go home, you can still be in his pasture, enjoying the goodness of God. Anywhere you are, you can carry his presence. And the green pastures represented was his word. When you're spending time in his word, you're feeding your spirit with his word, you're growing. That's what the pasture would do, is when you're reading. You cannot grow if you don't feed yourself. I wish I could give you something else to grow. It doesn't happen. If you don't feed yourself the word of God, you're not going to grow. I wish I could tell you something easier. But there's no other way to grow. Because you know what? The word is him. The word is him. You got to feed yourself the word. Jesus himself. For you to be growing. Challenged in the areas that he wants you to be challenged in. The other thing that we find that he's a provider of restoration. He restores your soul, your mind, your will, your emotion. That's your makeup of your soul. He restores every part of it. He restores your mind when there's chaos up in there. When there's crazies going on in there. I mean, I'm not the only one that there's crazies that goes on sometime in there. But guess what the word says? He restores my soul. He calms down the crazies. And he gives me peace when I need it. He restores my soul. He restores my will. He makes my will line up with his. Because guess what? My will wants to do something different. My will wanted to do something different. Maybe this morning wanted to just sleep in. I mean, who doesn't have a will like that sometimes? It's raining outside. I just want to. Then my his will takes over and said, hey, guess what, dude? You're the pastor of the church. Get your act together and get out there. You know what I'm saying? It's like you understanding who you are by submitting your will to his. Because your will might want to do something totally different. But when you surrender to him, when he's restoring your will, you line yourself up. It's like you're going to a spiritual chiropractor. When you're out of line, he aligns you. And he said, okay, you're crooked there, buddy. Get straight and go do what I've called you to do. Because when we are crooked, I mean, we'd be walking like this. I mean, we're like, okay, God is like, okay, let me realign you so that you can walk straight with me. When he restores your soul, he restores every part of you. Your emotion, your mind, your will is restored by him. The other side of him providing, he provides leadership. He provides leadership. He's a good provider. It isn't just think about, when we think about provision, all we think about is material things. We think about money. But he's a provider in everything that you need. Not just the finances, not just the stuff that you need. That's why he doesn't want you to approach him, his pasture, for stuff. Because here what we read, it's beyond stuff. He provides leadership. He leads me on the path of righteousness. Righteousness, it means right standing. This is where you're crooked. puts you on the path of right standing with Him, with His grace, with His anointing, and you're walking straight with God. See, the good shepherd doesn't drive sheep. You know what driving sheep is? He goes behind and he drives sheep. He doesn't drive sheep. He leads sheep. He leads sheep by speaking. He says, my sheep know what? My voice. He leads his sheep by his voice. He calls his sheep. Okay, come on, guys. This is where we're going. Stand straight. We're walking here. This is where we're heading. It might be challenging, but I'm going to be ahead of you. I'm going to lead the way. God will never ask you or me to do anything that He's not prepared to do Himself. He would always lead us to where we need to go. We might think that we're on this journey and we are there alone, but He's like, buddy, I'm already there. I'm waiting on you. Come on. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. Sometimes it might be challenging. Sometime on the pasture where He's leading us, we might have those one thing where that we keep saying, conflict. But that is not meant to rob you out of your destiny when there's a conflict. The conflict is there for your growth. For you to be challenged in such a way so that you grow from just feeding yourself a milk product to something a little bit meatier. Because if you're not challenged, you're not going to be ready for the meat. The meat might choke you. Might choke you. But God is gradually preparing His body to be able to take more and more and more. And guess what, guys? In 2020, as a church, as a body, we're going to be challenged to eat more. We're going to be challenged to eat something called a prime rib. I mean, it's mighty tasty. It's mighty tasty. It's mighty good. But guess what? We got to train ourselves to be able to handle a prime rib. Have you ever ordered a prime rib in a restaurant or a big steak that is size of a table? I mean, if you're not prepared to eat this, you might choke. So God in 2019 is preparing us for something what He would put on the table for us, and we're going to call this prime rib 2020. And it's coming. It's coming. The table is going to be set. We're going to be served. And He's waiting for people with strong appetite to take a seat at the table and to be able to enjoy this prime rib. That's pasture. That's when we get in and we say, Lord, I'm ready to eat. Feed me. I'm ready to eat. Feed me. I'm ready for the meat. Feed me. I'm ready to take on more. That's going to be challenging because more you eat, it's more challenging because guess what? The more you eat, the more exercise you must. You're going to need to work out. You're going to need to develop these appetites so that you can feed yourself more. Because there could be a time when you get saturated with just constant feeding of just the same thing. If you're not prepared and you're not spiritually alert and your mind, your will, your emotion is not constantly being restored and constantly being challenged and renewed, you might not be able to enjoy this prime rib after a while. You might take a few bites and just say, you know what? That's good. I can't handle it anymore. God is looking for such a people that would have an hunger for Him that cannot be satisfied. Where you've come one time and you've taken a bite and you've seen how good He is, and you don't want to stop. You just don't want to stop. Every time when the table is set, I'm here. I'm ready to eat. Feed me, Lord. That is what God is looking. He's looking for a people, a group of sheep that will have such an appetite for him, for who he is. The second thing is this. Protector. He says this. That's how we know there is conflict in the pasture. Otherwise, we don't need protection, right? If pasture was a place where all you get is prime rib and there is no conflict, what's the use of protection? And we're talking about protection in battle. That's what we find in Psalm 23, verse 4 and 5. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Oh my goodness. Does that sound like a pasture to you? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. How about this? He's with you. He's with you even while you're facing trials. He's with you while there is conflict. He's with you in the middle of the storm. He's with you in the tough times where you might think that God has abandoned you, has walked away from you. He's saying here in his word that, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We're talking about a pasture here, church. This is a pasture, a place where you are fed. And he's talking about the enemies. He will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. In the presence of my enemies. You anointed my head with oil and my cup runs over. God is with us in battle. For you are with me. Your rod is his word. Your staff is his spirit. They say they comfort us. His word, that's why the word is so important. Because the word is the rod that we use to provide comfort to us when we need it in battle. See, you know the sheep, the wolf. Let's talk about wolf and sheep. The wolf is not afraid of sheep. Have you ever seen a wolf that might even be afraid of sheep? I don't know any wolf that would be afraid of sheep. I mean, I've watched enough National Geographic. I know my stuff. A wolf is never afraid of a sheep. You know what the wolf would be afraid of? The shepherd. He's not afraid of sheep. He's afraid of shepherd. He's afraid of the shepherd just because the shepherd can actually harm the sheep. Sandwiched between John 10, 9 and 11 is John 10, 10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come so that you may have life and life more abundantly. So what do as sheep? Stay close to the shepherd. Stay close to the shepherd. Don't leave the shepherd's sight. Stay close to it. If you watch National Geographic or you watch YouTube stuff, you'll find the sheep would actually do this. If the shepherd is right there where Jonathan is, the sheep is not going to stay here. The sheep is going to go, excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. That's where the sheep would want to be, right in the middle where the shepherd is. He would not want to stay out there. And in fact, when you see this, there's a constant revolving. The sheep is always finding a spot. Who's going to be next to him? Who's going to be next to him? And they take turns. So a sheep, this is what you and I, we need to do. We need to find a way to get close to the shepherd. Because that's the place where we are safe. We have to find this place where he is. And we say, that's where I'm going to be. You're here, Lord, I'm going to be here. You're here, Lord, I'm going to be here. Wherever you go, I'm going to be, because I know that's where I am safe. The wolf will not be able to get me because I'm close to you. That's what he does to us in battle. He stays with us. And the other part is he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I'm like, hold on a minute, Lord. Why don't you kill my enemies first and then we have the feast afterwards? Why don't we prepare a table after everybody's dead? All the enemies are gone. But this is what the word says. It prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. In the presence of the conflict, in the presence of the turmoil, he's laid a table for you and said, sit and eat and don't get yourself so concerned about what is around you. See, because in the presence of that table, the shepherd himself is seated at this table. Do you think a wolf would be able to approach that table where you're sitting down and enjoying your prime rib? Absolutely not. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And then the other one is he refreshes you in battle. He anoints my head with oil. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. It's constant refreshing of him. And your cup is always running over. And then finally it's this. He's the promise keeper. He's the promise keeper. When God gives you a promise, he will see to it that it comes to pass. He says that his word can never return back to him void. When my name was changed to, or the meaning or the true understanding of my name was changed to servant of one God, man, that was a mantle that I started wearing. I am all of that and much, much more. I am a servant of the Most High God because he made me a promise and is keeping his promise. My identity is tied in who he is, not in who I am. That's all on him, not on me. It says, surely goodness and mercy would follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. One day? Forever. I will dwell in his house forever. His promises is his goodness, his mercy, and guess what? Eternal life forever. Eternal life forever. When we look at this word here, follow. And with that, I'm going to end. I'm just going to drop in a piece of meat right there. Okay? When you look at the word follow, the original text in Hebrew does not translate as follow. I don't know why they came up with the word follow, because the word in Hebrew, which I would probably struggle to pronounce, it's radaf. Okay? Basically what this word means, which is much, much, much more powerful than follow, is this. Chase. Chase. Pursue. Can you imagine if you change that for a minute and you start looking at it in the proper way of the true meaning of that word there, radaf? It means this. Surely goodness, mercy shall chase you all the days of your life. God is chasing you and he's not stopping. He's coming after you. Not because he's mad at you. He's coming after you because he loves you. He's not chasing you with his judgment. Because a lot of time we run away from God because we're thinking that he's coming at us with judgment. He's chasing you with goodness, mercy, and eternal life. So if you are running, would you quit running? If you're running away from Him because, oh my gosh, I've been through the ringer. I've been a mess. Would you today quit running and just stop? And just say, Lord, I quit running right now. I want you to come and overtake me. I know you're chasing me. I'm just going to stop because I'm running nowhere. I'm just going to stop right here, right now. And you come and take over. Would you please stand? Right where you are,